Hello and welcome to the Argidias podcast, where we explore the topics that matter most for entrepreneurs in developing economies. I'm Angela Robson, and this is episode number 3, where we'll be looking at the challenges and opportunities that small and medium enterprises face in accessing services and being included in the global economy.
When it comes to entrepreneurship support services, most of the entrepreneurs today that have access to support, they belong to specific, you know, demographic groups that tend to be the most privileged ones.
The reality is a lot of SMEs don't know what types of services are available to them, and they also don't know what types of services are actually appropriate for them at different stages in their development.
That's Pablo Santafuema from the organisation Bridge for Billions, followed by Mary Mwangi from the Argidias Foundation. They both have years of experience working with entrepreneurs in Latin America and East Africa, many of whom face common challenges, such as limited access to finance, lack of infrastructure, and inadequate business support services. Mary Mwangi, what do you understand by inclusion and access to services?
With regards to access to business development services for SMEs, I think that refers to the ability of an SME to access the support that they need, when they need it, and where they need it. So that means that the services are accessible in terms of they're accessible to them based on their geography. They can find quality services where they are, and they can also find the services that they need for the stage of development that they are at that particular point in time, and that can address the challenges that they need.
Some entrepreneurs may need support to be able to access these services.
Is it accessible to somebody with various disabilities? It's accessing like a particular location. Are they able to access the location, or they're able to understand the person who's supporting them? So in terms of language, is it accessible based on the language that they speak?
Mary Mwangi, what stops small and medium enterprises from accessing services in your experience?
In my experience, the biggest barrier is actually knowing that these services are available to them. So a lot of entrepreneurs will go through the entrepreneurial journey without knowing what's available to them in terms of non-financial support. So knowing that these services exist, knowing where to find the right kind of support based on what their need is at that particular point in time is probably the biggest barrier. The other big barrier is obviously these services accessible where the business is. So, for example, in Kenya, if you're an entrepreneur who's not located within the vicinity of the capital city, so within Nairobi, then your access to quality business development services goes down significantly. One of the studies that we've done at Argidias, we found that up to 85% of all available business development services are actually available to entrepreneurs within Nairobi and its environs. So somebody who's living outside of that will struggle to find the services that they need.
Let's hear now from Pablo at Bridge for Billions about their work.
I'm one of their co-founders and the CEO of Bridge for Billions. And we define ourselves as a network of entrepreneurship programs, incubation programs for early stage entrepreneurs globally. We operate in Europe, in the US, Latin America, and also Africa and Southeast Asia. We're quite global, and we build entrepreneurship programs directly, so directly for entrepreneurs with mentors. These programs last 4 to 6 months. But then we also build programs with local entrepreneurship support organizations, organizations that, like us, also support entrepreneurs, and we work together to strengthen their capacity, their reach, and we also help them to digitalize.
Pablo, can you tell us, what do you understand by inclusion and access to services?
Sure. So at Bridge for Billions, when we think of inclusion, we think of, while diversity might be more extended in some parts of the world than in others, inclusion is really the next frontier for us as a society. Our purpose is to make sure that more early stage entrepreneurs have access to cross this bridge, so that they can connect with the right training, mentorship opportunities, funding opportunities, so that they can bring the innovations that will solve the problems of all of us, of the billions. And that's where the name comes from. So for us, inclusion means making sure that access to opportunity today to become an entrepreneur, regardless of what type of entrepreneur you are, regardless of your growth potential, the accent you have, your gender, or the sector that you operate, that you have access to launch, to create jobs, to create the innovations, and to solve the problems that really matter. And for us, that's how we connect inclusion with entrepreneurship.
What stops entrepreneurs accessing services?
There are many factors involved here. On one side, many of the entrepreneurs today, they're not aware that these services exist. And this is a problem that really, you know, lies within the, the responsibility lies on the entrepreneurship ecosystem. The system of organizations, both public and private, that support entrepreneurs. So the access of these services in many cases, and especially from private organizations, tends to be mostly for entrepreneurs that already have revenue, that have potential to, you know, for growth, and that they can show, you know, results before coming into these programs.
Mary, what are the best ways to address this? How can SMEs better access services?
I think the providers of business development services and the ecosystem more generally needs to do a better job of sharing information and breaking down silos that make it difficult for entrepreneurs to know what's available to them. I think one of the things that I found at Arcadius working with different partners is that typically most BDS providers, when they're thinking about how they spend their marketing budget, for example, or their comms budget, it's always related to the program. So it's related to promotion and trying to acquire clients for a particular program, but it's rarely related to branding and helping entrepreneurs know what's available to them. And I understand why that is, because they have a limited access to resources. But the reality is a lot of SMEs don't know what types of services are available to them. And they also don't know what types of services are actually appropriate for them at different stages in their development.
So, Mary, can you give some examples of how this has been overcome?
One example I can give is actually related to some work that we did with a partner here in Kenya. They're a group of consultants or a business development service provider that's based in Nairobi, but most of their clients are actually in the northern frontier. So it's a number of counties that are to the north of Nairobi in a fairly remote, arid and semi-arid counties. This was primarily as a result of responding to, you know, calls for proposals for programs that were looking at, you know, work in the arid and semi-arid lands, so that's ASALs, or looking at livestock market systems work. So they approached Arcadius and we were able to make a grant to them to set up a hub in one of these counties. So having a presence in the county allowed them to be more accessible to their clients and also to reach more clients in those counties. So I'd say that's probably one of the best examples that I can think of, where a business development service provider that's primarily based in Nairobi made a conscious decision and took steps to ensure that their services are accessible to entrepreneurs who otherwise would not have that kind of access.
Juan Carlos Tomas Soto works for Technoserve as Vice President of Entrepreneurship and New Ventures. Technoserve is a global NGO that supports farmers and entrepreneurs in nearly 30 countries across Africa, Latin America, and in India. I asked Juan Carlos how Technoserve is addressing the issue of inclusion and access to services.
So our entrepreneurship programs, what we do is to identify different segments of entrepreneurs with similar needs, and we design very basic training offering for them to address those critical needs. And we help them build the skills in a way that they can apply to their business and grow their business, so they can basically demand the right level of services according to their own needs, and consequently grow their businesses further.
How do you think digitalization is helping SMEs better access services and be feeling more included?
It helps in a number of ways. Digitization, you can basically lower the cost of providing a number of services that are relevant to them. So, for example, we have created an e-commerce training toolkit for entrepreneurs that may want to sell online. And with that e-commerce training toolkit, they can really understand what are the best platforms for their type of products they're trying to sell and the markets they are targeting.
So digitalization has become a lot more prevalent after the COVID pandemic, obviously, with the restrictions around movement. Very many of our partners needed to think about how to continue supporting SMEs in a way that would be safe. And one of the easiest ways to do that was to take some of their services online. So this included putting content online, delivering training online, and basically interacting with their clients online more than they'd expected to ever be doing. So that was the first real kind of focus on digitalization, because it was a necessity after the pandemic.
During the pandemic, we became all aware of the power and some of the trade-offs of digitalization. And for us, we believe that technology could help us to maximize the incubation journey that an entrepreneur can go, you know, online or offline, but in this case, online, with one or two mentors in a 4 to 6 months journey. We started to see that many entrepreneurship support organizations were supporting entrepreneurs in person with some, you know, very traditional pedagogic methodologies where the entrepreneur was the student, the recipient, and we could assume that 1 hour of teaching equated to 1 hour of learning, and we know that's not true. The best way of learning is by doing. And we came up with this incubation platform that enables entrepreneurs to go step by step in this process of building your own business plan while you're learning how to do it through technology. We've been called in few cases the Duolingo of business plans, in step-by-step engaging process with lots of data visualization that helps entrepreneurs go deep in their business planning strategy definition process. And then because it's all digital, collaborative within their team, but also with the mentors can provide feedback directly and makes the entrepreneurship, the entrepreneur-mentor relationship a lot more efficient. And this efficiency, because it's online, enables Bridge for Billions program managers and the ESOs that we work with to be able to monitor more entrepreneurs in a deeper way. One of the things that we saw is that many ESOs struggle to monitor and to really make sure that the support that they're providing is the best. And we believe that digitalization is a great tool to focus on what really matters, which is the state of mind of the entrepreneur, the emotional support, and of course, the connections, the social capital, and also the financial capital for these entrepreneurs.
Pablo, what do we need different stakeholders to do?
There are several stakeholders that already are showing signs of doing things differently. I'm going to start with the public donors. When I started Bridge for Billions, it seemed at that time for me was very frustrating was that public donors were not aware that it was critical to invest in the ecosystem. And what I mean with this is investing in the infrastructure that will really fuel, that will make sure that there are more entrepreneurs and they're better supported. And this is something that over the last years, especially in the last, you know, 3 to 5 years, it has changed, but I think it needs to change a lot more. Because the world is changing so fast that if we really believe that the current ecosystem of today is going to be able to create the jobs of tomorrow at the speed that, unfortunately, due to digitalization, many of the jobs of SMEs that will be destroyed, if we believe that our ecosystems are ready for the job creation that is ahead. So that's one key aspect, making sure that there is coordinated efforts, both from international and national, regional, even local public actors, making sure that they are catalyzing, that they are enhancing, strengthening entrepreneurship support organizations, making sure that private capital from both, from all the way down to from business angels to large VCs, impact investors, that they work in a more coordinated and collaborative way.
We need the different stakeholders to be more intentional about improving access to business development services for small business entrepreneurs. So there are different types of stakeholders. So for the business development service providers themselves, we need them to start thinking about acquiring customers outside of their traditional markets. So looking beyond their locality. So if you're running a program, because it's possible to run a program where you have participants from across the country, for example, through digitalization, trying to acquire clients from outside of the county where you're based is something that we want to see more business development service providers doing. We also want to see more business development service providers thinking about setting up a presence in somewhere outside of where they are currently located. So even something as simple as having, you know, a team of two or three sitting in another county helps you become more proximate to your clients who are not based at close to your headquarters. And that really improves the relationship that you can have with those clients. It improves the quality of the support that you can give them because you see them more often. You're able to identify the challenges that you're facing, and you're also able to identify the context they're working in and understand that a lot better than when you're doing that, you know, from hundreds of kilometers away. So we also need other stakeholders like the associations that bring together some of these business development service providers to put more emphasis on breaking like the knowledge barriers for SMEs. So helping SMEs understand what types of business development services are available to them and how they can access them. And going a step further and helping the entrepreneurs understand what types of questions they need to ask of these providers for them to know whether this is the right provider for them for this particular point in their growth.
Do you see big differences in Latin America to Africa in terms of access to business development services?
I think overall, I mean, the challenges are pretty similar, but you can see more acute challenges in certain countries than other. There are countries where you can find very little or close to nothing. In others, you will find some emerging supply of services, particularly highly subsidized by local governments. And you see more of that in countries that are closer to the middle income level. Countries like Chile, for example, is a very robust government program to support services that create training for entrepreneurs, for example. That's non-existent in other countries.
What does the future look like for you, Mary?
I think the future is hopeful, but there are some existential threats to the sector. And one of the biggest threats to the sector is the reliance on donor funding and philanthropic funding. And because donor funding and philanthropic funding tends to change based on the strategy and based on, you know, geopolitics. And so it's not funding that business development service providers can rely on for the long term. They need to be thinking about how to make their services a lot more sustainable and to basically diversify their sources of funding. But overall, I think there is understanding of the value of non-financial support for small business entrepreneurs. And we are seeing a lot more interest in quality. So there's a lot more interest in the measurement of effectiveness and trying to determine whether these services are actually adding value as opposed to, you know, let's just train a few hundred thousand entrepreneurs. I see the role of government becoming probably larger than it has been in the past in the provision of business development services to entrepreneurs. So I see government playing a much more significant role than it has in the past.
Thanks for tuning in to the third episode of the Argilius podcast. Thank you to Pablo Santafuema, Mary Mwangi, and Juan Carlos Tomasotto. In this episode, we've seen how the industry has been changed by the COVID pandemic and digitization. We've heard that the biggest current need is for accessibility, and we've seen that the future will require a continued commitment to infrastructure and a diversification of funding. In our next podcast, we'll be focusing on the way Argidius works with its partners. We'd love for you to join us again. Until then, goodbye.